Thank you for stopping by Living Waters World Online, the place where the river of God flows. Pastors Lawrence and Kimberly Richardson invite you on a journey to change the church, challenge the colleges, and charge into the community. The following message is entitled, Vacation Bible School, The Aftermath. It's time to be about my Father's business.
Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey and sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowingly. And he said unto them, How is it that you sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Let's pray. Father, we bless your name. We glorify you, Father, and we lift your name up on today. We acknowledge that there is no God like you and that you are the greatest thing that ever happened to us. Help us, Father God, to love you the way you love. You need to be loved, and help us to be committed to your walk and be committed to what you have us to do, what we've been purposed to do. We ask you right now, Father, to continue to dwell among us in this place. Continue to rest upon us in the name of Jesus. We ask you, Father, to speak to every heart that's present on today. Let it be a word that's an overflowing of what we've had all week, and let it run over to every person we come in contact with in this coming week. Father, I ask you to hide me behind the cross and take us all the way to Pentecost, where preaching power is not only magnified, but it is present. And we thank you so much for what you're going to do, how you're going to do it, when you're going to do it, and whom you're going to do it through. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen. You may have your seats in the presence of the Lord. According to historians, the Gospel of Luke was written to give a reliable and precise historical record of the life of Jesus Christ. Luke spelled out his purpose for writing in the first four verses of chapter 1, which reads, For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order, a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. As a historian and a medical doctor, Luke paid great attention to detail. He included dates and events that happened throughout the life of Christ. A theme that is emphasized in the Gospel of Luke is the humanity of Jesus Christ and his perfection as a human. Jesus was the perfect man who gave the perfect sacrifice for sin, therefore proving the perfect Savior for humankind. In today's text, we find Jesus and his family joined by their friends and family returning home from their journey from Jerusalem, where they have been gathered for the Feast of Passover. The Feast of Passover is a celebration of the children of Israel's exodus and freedom from slavery and the bondage that had them in captive in Egypt. While traveling, Mary and Joseph, the earthly parents of Jesus, realized that after searching for him for an entire day, that Jesus was not with them. So they returned to Jerusalem in search of their son. Verse 46 informs us that it took them 3 days to find him. And when they did, they were amazed that he was in the temple conversing with and gleaning wisdom from the teachers. Now, as a parent, I can imagine the thoughts and the fears and the anguish that Mary and Joseph may have been feeling when they were searching frantically for their son. Look, let me be real. Not knowing where my child is for 1 minute is enough for me. It's too much for me. Look, my sons are 13 and 14. And if we are in the public and I send them to the bathroom and they're not out in a few minutes, I'm calling them on their cell phones. If their phones, if they don't answer their phones, I'm going in. I don't care how old you are. I know it might embarrass you, but I'm going in. I know at this age it's going to embarrass you, but I'm more concerned with the gifts that God has given me than how you're feeling at that time. See, some of you may think that it's a little bit overboard. Like, okay, they're 13 and 14, PK, cut the cords, be, you know, just let them grow up. And I'm letting them grow up. I'm doing the best I can to let them grow up. But you don't know my story. And after you lose 7, you hold tight to your 2. Let me say that again. After I lost 7, I'm holding tight to my 2. So what does that mean? That means that I have to make sure that I have them in the right place at the right time doing what they're supposed to be doing. So I'm going to hold tight and hold them close to me because no one knows the pain and the anguish that you feel when you lose 7. So you hold on tighter to your 2 just to make sure they're where they need to be a little bit more. Just to show God that you're grateful for the ones that he gave you. Just to show God that, God, I'm going to take care of what you have given me. So you hold a little bit tighter. You bring them a little bit closer to your heart. Now, I'm not trying to suffocate them. I want to hold them real close so I can guide them through the journey of life. Look, when God tells you who your children are, you're responsible for them. And you will be held accountable to raise them. Amen? With that in mind, how many people have here understand that your children are not here by happenstance? There is a purpose and a destiny that's attached to their lives. We know that because God has revealed it to some of us. And others, we know that based on reading the Word of God. Amen? So we take parenting seriously. So how do you think Mary felt knowing that her child, who was the Word, who is the Word, according to John 1 and 1, in the beginning was the Word, right? The Word was with God. The Word was God. He's lost, and I can't find him. She lost the Word. She can't find him. The one who Gabriel told her, according to Luke 1, 31 through 33, that a virgin, as a virgin, she would miraculously conceive, and he would be a great, great guy. He will be called the Son of the Most High, the Lord of Lords. He will have the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. And the kingdom, his kingdom, will never have an end. And she searched all over, and she couldn't find him. She searched for 4 days. That's a level of panic that I can't imagine. But here's the kicker. When she finds him and ask him, why did he do that to them? Why did he just leave without them knowing? And she expressed how worried she was, and they searched for him. I would expect that he would be very apologetic. He would be sorry for leaving, sorry for not letting them know, Mom, I didn't mean to upset you. Instead, he was like, I'm going to paraphrase verse 49 in our text. He was like, why are you even looking for me? Did you just say, why am I looking for you? Don't you know that I would be about my father's business? That's not the response we're going to want from our kids. If we can't find them and we don't know where they are and they're not where they're supposed to be, you better be very humble when you reach Kimberly Richardson. Because I want to know what's going on with you. Because I'm scared, I'm nervous, I'm worried. The world is crazy out there. And I need you to be obedient and be in place. And you're going to ask me, why am I even looking for you? Okay, maybe it's just me. I'm not going to stop and go, oh, okay. I'm going to try to figure out what's going on with you. And how come you're talking to me like that? Then I understood, wait a minute. Instead of me going there, because I really was kind of like going there like, boy, are you crazy? And then I was snatching my, are you for real? Okay, let's go. But then God said, for me to look at the scripture a little bit deeper, he said, Jesus said, I'm about my Father's business. Now, Joseph wasn't with him in the temple. And Mary and Joseph were looking for him. So he wasn't talking about that father. I don't know how that made Joseph feel. He wasn't talking about that father. He was talking about his heavenly father. So by Jesus saying, I'm about my Father's business, he knew that he was the Son of God. And he was 12 years old. How many of our children or the children connected to us or around us can emphatically say that they are the children of the Most High God? How many know that there is an assignment on their life that they have to be about their father's business? The sad indictment is that many of the children in this generation have no idea who they are and why they're here. Honestly, some of them question their existence, and when things get too tough, they try to find a way to escape by either using drugs or alcohol or just performing really self-destructive behavior. Or they ponder ways in which they want to end their life. You have no idea how heartbreaking it is as a counselor to have a four-year-old tell me that she wants to commit suicide. You're four. I don't understand. To have a first grader say they want to commit suicide and tell me exactly what that means. At four, in first grade, you feel that whatever's happening to you right now is not worth you living. And sometimes it's like she don't want to be my friend anymore. And that, to a first grader, is a big deal. But is it big enough for you not to be here anymore? What do our kids know about who they are and why they're here and the existence of their presence? And what are we telling them about why they're here and who they are? It's our responsibility to make sure the children know that they are the child of the Most High God. Not they're Kimberly and Lawrence's child, but they're the child of the Most High God. When they understand that, then they should have an ability to be able to push through some things that at their age, we weren't able to push through. Because I didn't hear all the time, you're a child of the Most High God. I didn't know that. I knew it, but I didn't hear it. So we have to get into the place where we understand that we have a responsibility for our children. We have a responsibility to make sure they can emphatically say, I am a child of the Most High God. We can make sure that they can emphatically say that I have an assignment. I'm on this earth for something, and nothing you can do can stop me or prevent me from being what God has called me to be. Amen? They have to be taught that they are a generation of promise. They have to be taught that their circumstances does not dictate or negate who they are. They have to be taught that their circumstances does not dictate or negate who they are. This is one of the many things that they learned in Super Training University here at Vacation Bible School. And today, I'm gonna talk to you a little bit about Vacation Bible School and the aftermath. And I'm going to come from the theme, it's time to be about my Father's business. Tell your neighbor, it's time to be about my Father's business. In Vacation Bible School, they were taught that they have superpower. And when they're connected to the power source, that they have no reason to fear. In Vacation Bible School, the children were taught that they have superpower when they are connected to the power source. And when they're connected to the power source, they have nothing to fear. That they can and will accomplish all that God has for them. And even when they mess up, we serve a forgiving God who, based on our actions, can destroy us. But because of his love for us, he extends our life and extends our time. And he talked about King Hezekiah. how he was able to get extended time. As a result of the aftermath, meaning the consequences, the effects, the results of the information that was given on during vacation Bible school, several children gave their life to Christ. Okay, you should be a little bit more excited about that. So they understood about being connected to the power source. In order to have the superpower that we have and we need to make it in today's world, we have to be connected to the power source. And that power source is Jesus Christ. Amen. So how many people were saved? Elderly, you remember the number? About 12? I think it was more. I think it might have been 14 or 15 because some didn't want to come up front. So again, we have 15 souls that were saved. They understood about the importance of being connected to the power source. And that is something worth celebrating. The training continued by teaching our babies that Christian superheroes have super armor. And that our armor is found in Ephesians 6, 10 through 17. And that says, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with what? With truth. And having on the breastplate of what? Righteousness. And your feet shod with the preparation of what? The gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So to see them create the sword and walk around like they were fighting the enemy and saying, we got you, devil. Now, they kind of, it would mess up a little bit. They were little ones. And they go, we got you, God. I mean, we got you, devil. And they were like playing short sword games. They were fighting each other. And they had no idea that the sword that they created and what they were fighting was actually warring off generational curses. Again, for them just saying, we got you, devil. You can't get us, devil. They didn't understand the impact they were making in the spiritual realm. And by them saying that and actually being able to do that, they were breaking generational curses. Sickness and diseases were not being able to attach themselves to them. They were defeating the plans and the attacks of the enemy just by proclaiming that the weapon that's formed against them can't prosper. Just by using what God has given them to fight with and understanding how to fight and what to fight with. That was important. They had no idea what they did in the spirit realm, and we cannot minimize what we saw them do, thinking it was just child's play. We're teaching them how to survive and what armor to put on, and we're teaching them how to fight. And at that very moment, I believe in my spirit that the enemy had to back up. The enemy had to back up. Those kids were on their face. Serious. Those kids were not playing. The enemy had to back up. And then those other ones made shields of faith. And they were learning that their faith would help them to face and conquer the challenges in life. That the shield of faith would shield them from the arrows that the enemy is shooting at them. So they were able to use their shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, to fight off the enemy and the fight for Jesus. They were able to use the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit to fight for Jesus. So the babies were doing that upstairs. What are we doing? When we're faced with challenges, what are we saying out of our mouths? What are we using to war off that enemy? What are we using to settle what the enemy's trying to bring in our household? What are we saying out of our mouths? Are we using what we teach the babies to use? Or did they remind us that we need to pick up the shield of faith? And here's the thing about the shield of faith. The shield of faith is going to help war off the attacks that the arrows come. When the arrows come, it can war off the attacks and war off the effects. But also the shield is what we use as we walk into battle. So we're teaching them, and I want to remind us that we don't back up when it's time to fight, y'all. We arm ourselves and we go straight ahead. So my question to you is, what battle are you running from? That you need to arm yourself and go straight ahead.
We have to understand that we cannot go into a battle without having the proper armor on. And when we go, we have to be assured that the God of our salvation is right there with us. And he's leading us and he's guiding us. And he will fight that battle for us. But we have to be in place and we have to go. Someone shout, it's time to go and fight. If you don't believe that, look at what's going on around us. We have to fight for our children. We have to fight for our families. We can't back up and cower and go in the corner. They go back in the corner. We have to make sure that we are teaching them how to fight and we are fighting ourselves. Our families, our children are watching us. So what are we doing? How are we fighting? So I want to remind us on this morning what the children reminded me of, the fact that we have to have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Are we really leaning and depending on the word of God? Do we go to our friends and our family before we go to the word of God? Is the word of God our last result? We talked about how sometimes we do everything else first and then we go to God. We try to do it on our own first and then we go to God. And God said, you got to come to me first and then I tell you how to walk. I tell you what to do. I tell you where to go. That way you don't have to repent and say, God, I'm sorry, because God is already leading you. We have to understand, people of God, that what we went through this week was a reminder of who God is and what God wants to do in our lives. And that's why it was imperative that we stopped and come back, just in case you missed it, or to remind you of what God wants to do and how God is going to use us and the superpower that he says that we have. We are declaring that our children are ready for battle. We are declaring that our children stand firm and believe that no weapon formed against them shall prosper, that they are more than conquerors, that nothing is too hard for God, for them to stand boldly when they are faced with opposition, and they should declare that they can do all things through Christ who strengthens them. If you believe that, they need to know that. Someone shout, I know that's right. Now do me a favor, turn to a child near you and say, baby, use your superpower. Tell them, use your superpower. Not only were they taught how to fight using their superpower, but they were taught the importance about being a good Samaritan, the importance of loving people and understanding that it's not always about them. How God is pleased when we do things for others and how we treat people the way we want to be treated. Now, we have to understand that this generation has a strong sense of entitlement. And I'm not sure where they got it from, but it's here and it's strong. I want what I want, when I want it, how I want it, and if you don't give it to me, you're the devil. Something wrong with you. And I learned as a parent to help combat that. Sometimes I can say yes, but I'm going to say no. Because life is not about you always getting what you want when you want it. If that was the case, Isaiah would be child number 9, not child number 2. And that was the case on August 27th. I wouldn't be going back to Baltimore City Public Schools. But thank God for a job that I love. If that was the case, and you fill in the blank, I would be married by now. I wouldn't have married that one. I don't know if I would have been around them too long. I wouldn't have lived here. My parents would have been a little bit different. I would have been brought up differently. I wouldn't have gone through. If we had everything the way that we wanted it, life would be a lot different. And that is not what life is about. And so we had to teach our children about being a good Samaritan, how it's not always about you. And so I'm going to say that to the adults who feel that way. Guess what, y'all? It's not always about you. So don't get mad on the tired and sing your song, because it ain't about you, boo. Raise your hand and celebrate and praise God, regardless of what song is being sung, regardless of who's bringing the word, regardless who's walking amongst you, whatever is going on around you, understand that you have to find a way to be grateful for where you are and who you are and whose you are. Amen. Amen. So they talked about being a Samaritan and and how that operates. And then I actually watched it take place, and I talked about it on Friday night, but it was a little kid that, I was running late one of the nights. I did a couple of pickups. Then I had to take some care of some stuff. It was on Thursday, on Zaya's birthday. I had to run around and do some things, and I ended up at Giant and at CVS, and I didn't want to talk to anybody. I was late. I had to get to church. And this woman, I saw her in Giant, and I saw her again outside of CVS. She was like, hey, I see you again. I was like, yes, ma'am, how are you? And she began to talk. She was like, you know, yeah, well, my husband left me. You can't walk away on that. I got 7 babies. I was like, and I'm a woman of God. How do I handle that? So we began to talk. And she, well, I let her talk. Because sometimes people just need to talk. I let her talk. And she began to share her heart and what's going on. And I ended up inviting her to Vacation Bible School. And the next day, all of her kids came with her to Vacation Bible School. I didn't want to be running late. I thought I was not where I was supposed to be, but I was right where I was supposed to be at the right time. Sometimes we have to be yielded to what God wants to do, even if it feels uncomfortable, awkward, or wrong. So her son was here, and her son didn't want me to leave him up in children's church because he didn't know anybody. He didn't really know me, but he wanted me to stay with him. So while they were up there in Elder LaShawn and Christian's class, they earned tickets for doing things right and stuff like that. And at the end, they can turn in the tickets and get some toys and prizes and stuff. So this kid only had one ticket. He's only been in that one time. Other kids started coming around him and giving him his tickets. His 3, his 4, his 2. He said, we want to make sure you have enough so you can get a prize like we can get a prize. These are babies. They gave up what they had to give to somebody else. Now, as adults, you want me to take from what I have to give to you? That's not happening. You work the way I worked for it. That's how some of our attitudes are. How many of us are willing to take up of our own substance and give to somebody else? Here's the thing. Without warning the glory and the parade and the fanfare and what we did, just doing it because that's the right thing to do. So not only did they hear the message, they ended up walking that message out. And I said, man, if they can do it, we don't have any excuses. So who is connected to us that we're not giving our time to? Who needs us to help them walk through something but we're too busy? Who are we not willing to sacrifice our time for because we have our own families to deal with? What children are we not pulling close because we have too many of our own? The Good Samaritan. They learned about being a Good Samaritan. And I want to remind us all, people of God, that we got to realize that it's not about us. It's about the kingdom of God.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Living Waters World Online. If you were blessed by this message or know someone who will be blessed by this message, please click the link below for more information on how to receive the full-length copy. We hope you are encouraged. And please remember, this is the place the river of God flows.